You know, you see all these kids running around in the back, in front and the back. And this is how we make the next generation chiropractors. There's several second generation chiropractors here, and they used to go to meetings like this when they were kids too. So that's really a cool thing. I'm about to introduce Dr. Lou. I love Dr. Lou. Dr. Lou's in practice a long time, and consistently seeing people, turning on lives, telling the story. Year in, year out, same story. Pretty awesome. And he's our anchor man tonight. And I am proud to introduce Uncle Lou. Dr.
But
Lou
I'd been forgotten, I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? But I'd been forgotten, I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
I was thinking, sitting back there and, you know, perusing the crowd, I was thinking about this area. I don't know the Harrisburg area very well. I've been here a few times. And thought that perhaps within short driving distance of this hotel, there are probably at least a couple of hundred chiropractors who are confused, have no identity, who are failing in practice, and who so desperately need what we're speaking about here tonight. And sometimes I think, you know, Sharon is doing her part by having these meetings and expending great effort and expense to do this. And I was thinking that maybe it's time that we might try becoming chiropractic missionaries. Instead of waiting for them to come to us, perhaps we have to go to them. Perhaps we have to go into the offices of people in our neighborhood, chiropractors, and we have to, they would never walk into our office, walk into their office and introduce ourselves, try to help them out, try to talk about principle to them, try to get them to a meeting, maybe pay their first month's rent if they're a new chiropractor, buy them a new adjusting table, go out and do a screening for them, send the patients to their office instead of ours, something to get them to understand this principle. You know, when we come here, it's very valuable for us. It's valuable for me, like Dean said, or somebody said it. I'm doing this for me. I mean, we get so much out of this. We get edified. We get the principle firmer. We learn a lot about practice. We learn how to go out and serve better. But when you think about it and we go out and serve better, basically, most of the rewards come right back to us. And sometimes, dear Joe Strauss said exactly the same thing, we have to do things without thought of getting the return. That's what the real service, that's what a service principle is really about. We are about, in chiropractic, the principle. The principle that is bigger than us. The principle that brings people into our offices, that heals our patients. And what we have to do is to center in on that and break that thing down. So since I'm the last speaker tonight, since we talk about chiropractic principle all the time, and basically it's the only thing I ever talk about when I get up before people, I want to try to hone in on this thing and center in on it. What do we mean by the chiropractic principle? Are we talking about the major premise? There is a universal intelligence that gives to matter all its properties, thus maintaining it in existence? God? Are we talking about this little thing called the intelligence of the universe that created every single particle, every single molecule, every single atom, and runs it from the beginning of time to the end? Is that the principle? Yes. That's the principle. That's pretty big. Is there anything bigger than the universe and what runs it? That's big. Are we talking about the principle of innate intelligence, that part of universal that exists in every living thing, that innate intelligence which creates 60 trillion cells from one tiny microscopic fertilized egg? that recreates billions of cells every day in the human body, that not only does it create, but it runs the body from the moment of conception to the end of life, that it runs these 60 trillion cells and makes thousands of chemicals, that it conducts something like 600 octillion functions every second of your living and breathing moments. Talking about that innate intelligence that does the healing, that is capable of healing every disease known to man. Is that the principle? Yes. We're talking about that part of innate intelligence that isn't exactly the physiology of innate. That innate intelligence that expresses love to others, that expresses patience and kindness and service and long-suffering and humility. That part of innate, that part of God that brings people into our offices, that guards us as we're falling down a cliff. Is that the innate intelligence we're talking about? Absolutely. That's pretty big. I mean, what's bigger than that? We have, in chiropractic, something so precious and so big, and we take advantage of it. And we come to meetings, not necessarily this one, wanting to learn more about pinched nerves and adjusting techniques and insurance codes and advertising and so forth to build our practices or for whatever good reason you might have. But the basis of everything we do in that office and in our lives is the principle of chiropractic, and we have to get closer to it. And I'm telling you, when you get in the office and you speak chiropractic to people, as I have been doing for 35 plus years, you have to concentrate on the principle of chiropractic. Yes, you have to talk about the physiology of chiropractic, about the physiology of innate. Yes, you may have to talk about the pinched nerve. You may have to talk about various aspects of it. About 10%, 90% of it's got to be the principle. People have to anchor to something bigger than themselves. You can't anchor to yourself. Speaking about anchors, I happen to do some sailing. And every summer, we just go out and we sail up Long Island Sound and go to Nantucket or we go to Newport or wherever, and we just have a ball 1 week on the boat. And we do our sail, and at night, we don't go ashore. We stay on the boat. I mean, that's the whole deal. That's what's fun. And we go in these little anchorages, you know, like little coves outside of wherever we're anchoring in Nantucket, Newport, wherever. And an anchorage is a place where boats, all these boats stay, and they anchor onto into the mud, onto the earth. And as the wind blows, the boat finds its way headed right into the wind so that when you open the hatches, you know, on a summer night and that cool ocean breeze is blowing, it blows through the hatch in the front and out the hatch in the back, and it's the boat is rocking real nice on the water. And man, it feels like you're back in the womb. It is so cool. It is so nice to be on a boat and to sleep out there. But you got to be anchored, because if you're not anchored to something outside of the boat, what's going to happen is the wind and the tides are going to take you out of that anchorage and probably, most likely, into another very large boat, maybe a ship. You die that way. Right? Your boat gets sunk and you die. So you got to be anchored. And when I first brought my son on the boat years ago, I said, Jesse, we got the anchor. Jesse, go up there in that front hatch, pull out that anchor, and drop it. So Jesse did what I told him. He pulled out the anchor, closed the hatch, and dropped it on the boat. I shot, Jesse! You don't drop it on the bow of the boat. That's not the way it's done. He's, oh, okay, Dad. He picks it up, runs to the back of the boat, and drops it on the stern of the boat. Now, Jesse, you don't drop it on the stern. You don't drop it on the bow. You're supposed to throw it overboard, Jesse. The anchor gets locked into the earth. It's got to go into the mud. That's how you anchor the boat. That's what we have to do. We have to be anchored to something bigger than us. To this principle, to this power of life, to this innate principle, to God. And if we're not anchored, how do you expect all these people who are so confused to come through our lives and come through our offices, who can anchor to an unanchored mind? How can they anchor to you? But people will anchor to the principle. I want to tell you something. Results may excite them temporarily. Results, I mean symptomatic changes. I mean, if their asthma goes away or their diabetes goes away, they may get excited about it until, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 months. They may even refer you another asthmatic or diabetic, but they don't stay with you for a lifetime based on the results, on the symptomatic results. They may get excited about your personality and your beautiful new paint job in the office or whatever it is, your new boom boom adjusting table. But the thing that really gets them turned on and excited is that principle. You watch them the next time you give a chiropractic orientation. And I know you've seen this every time you do. You're sitting there and you're talking and you're getting excited and you're getting passionate, talking about innate intelligence and how unbelievable and how marvelous it is. And you see the faces like this. Not all of them, but a lot of them. They go, a little smile, they go, and the head's nod up and down. That nod of understanding, that nod of realization, that perhaps no one ever articulated to them before. That's the principle. That's what you got to keep talking about and hammering to them. The principle of chiropractic. I belong to a small church also, Joe, and I've been going there for a lot of years. And I love my church, and I love worshiping God, and I love the people and the fellowship I have with fellow believers. But I go to that church every week, and we wind up at a certain point in the service, and we pray for the sick. And, you know, Mary's suffering with abdominal pain, and her little son, little daughter Heather, has asthma, and so-and-so has this problem, and yes, let's pray. And let's pray for the disease, and let's pray for the skill of the doctors and the drugs that they're taking, and pray that they're, you know, because, you know, they don't know any better. And every time I hear that, I want to be in the spirit, and I do pray for them. I don't necessarily pray for the drugs, I pray for them. And it's been eating on me for years. And the last 6 months or so, there's been a change coming over my spiritual life. And I just can't take it anymore. So I went to the pastor and one of the elders, and I says, listen, Craig, I can't do this anymore. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I didn't say, can I? I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring my adjusting table to church every Sunday. And I'm going to put it outside the sanctuary, in the room outside, the entryway outside the sanctuary. And whoever wants to get adjusted can get adjusted. I said, do you think that would offend anybody? He said, no. He said, I think that's a great idea. So I did it. And that very day, in our Bible study, while I was relating to some of the folks and the elders in that study about the changes that have been taking place in my life lately, one of the elders says, gee, Lou, that's really, you know, that is really a great story. Why don't you share that in testimony with the congregation next week? I said, oh, you really want me to? And inside I'm going, yeah, yeah, yeah. You really want me to do that? Yeah. So I did. The next week, I got up before the congregation. They asked me to come up and testify, give a testimony. And I did. And I talked about some of the things going on in my life. But then I started to talk about the chiropractic principle. And I began to say, you know, you come here every day and you pray to the wonderful God, the God who you know created you and everything inside of you, the God who heals, the God who does everything, who is all-powerful, and yet every time you get a cold or you get sick, you run off to a doctor thinking that he can heal you and get you well. And it can happen and it doesn't happen. Only the power that made the body heals the body. And I'm seeing faces do the same thing all throughout the congregation, a little smile and a little head nodding. Just like in my office, and it felt so great. And needless to say, after the service that morning, I had a busy day at the office. So I brought the office to church, and I must admit, church to the office quite a bit too. But they have to know the principle. In church, out of church, in where you eat lunch, whoever cuts your hair, my barber, hears about the principle all the time. Everywhere, we have to know about the principle. The principle is extremely, extremely powerful. It's powerful because people want and need something bigger than themselves. Why do you think people are putting crystals around their neck and consulting fortune tellers and horoscopes and wearing garlic and, you know, all kinds of stuff? They need to connect with something other than their finite experience. They need something bigger. The principle, the God principle, the above down, inside out principle is what they need, but they can't articulate it. They can't express it until you come along and you tell them all about chiropractic and the wonders and the miracles of it, of our wonderful inside out philosophy. See, people want it. You know, Augustine, St. Augustine said that there exists in every person a God-shaped hole that only God can fill. Even the most hardened atheist, even the most confused agnostic, whether they admit it or not in their mind or speak it with their mouth, inside of them there is a longing to understand something bigger than themselves, to understand this thing. Paul said that, you know, what happens to us is we begin to worship, begin to shut that light. We're born with that. Somebody else said it. Dean, I think, said it. We're born with an understanding of God and a knowledge and a desire to seek God and to understand this principle. But we begin to worship created things rather than the Creator. We give ourselves over to those things. Sinner without excuse, he said. And they begin to become self-indulgent. And as you do that, you begin to shut that light out. That comes from the inside. You begin to shut it out more and more, and the husks that we talk about begin to layer over you, and it's very, very hard for people to reach that. And we have to do that. We have to do that. Anybody here remember John Boutwell? John Boutwell was, in my opinion, if not the greatest, one of the greatest DE speakers. He's a little on in years now. He's about Sid Williams' age, and he doesn't speak anymore that I know of. Maybe he does. The last time I heard him speak, I was running the philosophy sessions for the council in New Jersey, and I dragged him out of retirement and brought him up there. And I tell you, this guy is unbelievable. And I'll tell you what he talks about. He talks about the principle. He talks about it on stage. He talks about it in his office. He talks about it at DE meetings. He talks about the principle all the time. He doesn't talk about pinched nerves. He doesn't talk about physiology. He doesn't talk about all that other crap. He talks principle. All the time. The power that made the body heals the body. It doesn't happen any other way. He's the guy that the first time I heard, you got to get up 5 o'clock in the morning and read the Bible. Back in the 1970s, he told us that, D.E. And he said to us, you think I like to get up 5 o'clock in the morning? Man, I hate it. But he had to do it. He has to do it to prepare himself to be a vessel, a perfect vessel, to express the principle from above down and from the inside out. And Boutwell, when he was a younger man, was asked by the University of Georgia Department of Medicine to come and give the medical department there a chiropractic lecture, to come and talk about chiropractic to them. And he told the story about 10 times. Well, he told it 10 times because every year they would ask him to do it. And the first time he went, it's a great story, you know, you think about, what am I going to talk to medical doctors? How can I lay it on them? How can I tell them about chiropractic and impress them? And so the first thing you think of is, well, you know, you might look up the research and cite the books and talk about, you know, how subluxation is proven by this, 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 and that, and so forth. He said, no. He said, I can't do that. I could never match them quotation for quotation. I couldn't do it on a scientific basis. I'm going to talk principle. And he went in there, and all he talked about, he did a lay lecture, the power that made the body heals the body. He talked about the egg, the fertilization, how life flows from the primitive brain over, how the organs are. You know that old lecture, that old DE lecture. And that's what he gave. And when he was finished, they took it very well, and they asked him back every year. The same talk in a medical school, in the medical college. He sticks to the principle. This principle is powerful because it's the truth. It's the truth. It's not a relative truth. It's an absolute truth. Absolute truth, because God exists. God is. Innate exists. It's not relative. The truth of chiropractic is that we were created and run by a superior intelligence, and we can't do anything by ourselves. I screw it up when I try to do something on my own, and from my own knowledge, and from my own understanding. It's the truth. And it's the truth that we have to transfer to the patients and to the population at large and to people. And you want to know something? When we deny that truth, when we rationalize that truth, when we water down that truth, we sell ourselves out. We take a little piece of our heart out every time. You can't be an agent of truth and lie on insurance forms and cheat and steal. You know, there are people who shoplift from Macy's who rationalize and say it's not really shoplifting because, you know, I'm out of work now or I'm not making much money. They've got plenty. They'll never miss it. Do you think that's stealing if you take it from somebody who'll never miss it? Is it stealing? Of course it is. What about what we do on the insurance fund? You know, these insurance companies are rotten. They screw chiropractors. They got all kinds of money. What the heck? I'll charge for these services I didn't perform, or I'll perform these ridiculous, unnecessary services so I can boost up the bill. I'll make a $750 first visit fee. What the hell, insurances can pay for it. Patient would never pay that. Insurances would. Chiropractic principle is truth. People want it. People need it. It's bigger than we are. There was an old movie. I'm an old movie fan, and I haven't seen the movie in years, but it came to my mind today as I was thinking about what I was going to talk about, called Joe versus the Volcano. It was one of the early Tom Hanks movies. And that movie really moved me. It was a silly, I mean, the premise was a little silly. No, the premise was good. The movie was a little silly. But it was about this guy who's caught in this depressing, oppressive corporate atmosphere. He doesn't have God. He doesn't know God. He goes to work every day in this dim, horrible place. He's by a boss that abuses him. He's dominated by his girlfriend, and he just has a misery. And he's always sick. He's always got these symptoms, problems. And I believe he finds out that he's fatally ill. Right? He's got a brain cloud. Yeah. All right. So what happens? And I don't know. The details aren't important. Somehow, he's going, because he's got this thing, he knows he's going to die anyway, somebody's going to give him all this money to go out to some island in the South Pacific or something, in this active volcano that's about to erupt, and all these villagers and islanders are very upset about it, and know the only way this thing won't erupt is if there's a human sacrifice. He's going to, don't ask me why, but he's going to be the human sacrifice. And so he goes out on his adventure, but as he begins to do this, as he gets out of that dim, dark, godless, unprincipled, unspirited atmosphere, he begins to experience life. He meets somebody else. He begins to experience all that life has to offer, all that God put on this earth. And in one horrible moment when something happens to him, he's on a boat, he's without water, he's set adrift or something, and he gets, and this is like the climax of the movie. This is the big God moment Joe has. He gets up, he's just totally desperate. He stands on the boat, and there's this big, huge sunset. And you see him standing up and looking in total awe at the creation of God. And the greatest line that I ever heard, one of the greatest lines in the movie, is he looks at it and says, "I never knew how big." What he meant was, I never knew how big life is. I never knew how big God is. I never knew how big the experience that he wants me to have is. How big that God moment, that big moment. I'm telling you, we have those God moments. We have those big moments in our offices. It's called an adjustment. Every time we put our hands on somebody and release the flow of life in them, it's a God moment. That's a love moment. That's a big moment. You need it as much as that old lady does. Every time you kiss a baby after you adjust them, every time your son or daughter looks in your eyes and sees the love there and knows that you would give your life to protect them at any given moment, that's a God moment. That's big. How big? How big this principle is. How unbelievable, how magnificent it is. And we worry about codes and bills and all the other mundane things that seem so important at the time, and I'm just like the rest of you. Without that spirit, without innate, without connecting to the power that made the body, without understanding the above down, inside out principle, without being connected to it, without recognizing it and taking off all the husks, All we are is space dust, universal flotsam, purposeless protoplasm, dreck. Dreck, that's a Jewish word, isn't it? Not me. Not you. I am a divine work of art signed by God. Look at me. Doesn't look like much to you, but I'm God's creation. See? I've got the Spirit of God inside of me. I've got innate inside of me. If God is with us, who can be against us? I can do all things through God who empowers me, who strengthens me. That's the principle. That's it. It may sound religious, but that's it. That's what it is. How big this chiropractic is. How spectacular. God, doesn't everybody need to know this? Don't our patients need to know this? Don't we chiropractors, don't the other chiropractors in the Harrisburg area need to know this? Do they need to be sitting in these empty chairs? Do you realize the changes, just in your life, the changes that occurred in your life because you understood this, you grasped this? Have you seen the changes that have occurred in the lives of the people around you? I almost shudder to think of the number of lives that my compatriot, Dr. Strauss, has changed in his lifetime. Not just the patients he's seen. There's a man that reaches out to chiropractors all the time. It's awesome. Dean got a letter from a patient. That's the beginning, Dean. That's just the beginning. You're going to affect thousands, thousands in your life. Not tens, not hundreds, thousands. You've already done it, many of you. You don't realize it. You don't realize the ripple you caused when you gave the first adjustment in your career. You don't realize the ripple you caused the first time you did something unselfish and gave love from the point of God where God lives. You don't know the ripple you cause every time you open your office in the morning, every time you talk to a chiropractor about the principle of chiropractic. Every time you come to one of these meetings or anywhere else and you get strengthened and you get empowered, you don't know the ripple you cause. You don't know how big an effect you have. I tell you what, I hope you don't sleep tonight, because I'm not. I'm done. Good night.